come back and be with us again. Excited about today, as I always am. Everybody ought to be in a good mood. Everybody's team probably won, or not everybody's, but we'll go forward from that. But great time. Looking forward to this time of year. It's an exciting time as fall's coming up. I've argued with Abby all morning that fall's not here yet. She says it is. So she's in her own world. But it's good to have you here this morning. Way of prayer request. I know we got a lot. As you remember, my mother, she's back in the hospital in Bremen. We got in there Friday night or Saturday morning, however you want to look at it. So y'all remember her. She's really struggling. Do we have any others? Any others? I ask you to remember our Journey of Hope outreach as we get ready to start our classes on our cancer ministry. Our two teachers are going to be getting with us. Those times that we're going to try to meet on Sunday afternoon, is that right, before our evening service, we'll go through 8 weeks of training. And I ask you to be praying throughout this month, not only for the ministry, but that if the Lord would have you to work on it. Need volunteers. We need from 5 to 12 people to be able to make this thing successful. And they're going to teach us what they've learned, and we're going to try our best to go forward and be. Our desire is the Lord's will to be the place that someone finds they have cancer and needs someone to talk to. They need anything. They can come to us and we can begin to help them. And that's what I pray that God is going to use us for. And I know He is. So we've got people excited about it. I ask you to pray. And if you, I'm sure I don't have to tell you this, but all of our families that's in here, there's probably not a family in this building that cancer hasn't touched. It may be touching right now. It's everywhere. So I ask you to remember and pray that God uses. Also, I ask you to remember those that are traveling. We have probably some on the road this morning, different places. It's been a holiday weekend, so remember that and their safety. Remember, there'll be no services tonight. Have fun with your family or whatever it is you want to do the rest of the weekend. But stay safe and be ready to come back and finish the. As Abby says, well, we've got a few more weeks of summer left officially, but fall season, fall's in the air, and looking forward to our fall festival coming up and a lot of exciting things. I also want to take this time to thank everyone that showed up yesterday that helped us with the building. I was late, but I really wasn't late because the text I got said October 31st. So I really wasn't. I was an hour late, but I really wasn't late. I was about 2 months early. But I'm just glad to see they can make a mistake. And I saw something I've never seen before. I saw Corey and Keith sweating. That was worth all the work. But no, they put in a hard few hours or several hours. And we'll give you a little update. A lot of the interior walls got framed down there, framed out of metal studs. Things is looking like some progress was made. And we're going to. I didn't tell them this, but if we need to, the church will supply ibuprofen. Keith and Corey both talked about how sore they are from bending, getting up and down, because you did it up and down a lot. But thanks to everyone that come out, and I know other people had things to do and different things, but we're going to start having some work days, and we ask you to pray for us. If you can, come help us as we try to get some progress made on the building. And yesterday was a big step, so thanks to everyone and the ones that's putting the effort forward. I really, really appreciate it. Anybody else? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, then our singers come forth, and let's truly worship the Lord this morning. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for this day you've blessed us with, another day of life, God, what a blessing it is. God, we thank you for our church. We thank you for our visitors this morning, God. We ask that you touch each soul. Lord, I pray that something that's sang, something that's preached, something that's said would touch someone this morning. Lord, there's one in our midst that hasn't received you as Savior. I pray they will before it's everlasting too late. God, I ask you to use New Harmony Baptist Church to be an outreach in this community, to make it a church that if we were gone, that we would be missed. God, they would realize we wouldn't hear. And Lord, we want to be something for you. And God, we ask you to be with our singers this morning, touch their voice. God, touch their desire that they sing praises only for the upbuilding of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Thank you. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing.
We'll be right back. giant rise. Catch the demons by surprise. A holy nation sanctified. Let this be our battle cry. Ready yourselves. Ready yourselves.
Sinner was punched beneath the flood and God said,
the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've received nothing but goodness. Tested and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? The love of God gave me His pardon. The love of God won't let me stay the same. The love of God pulls me up higher. His will stronger. That's why I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? Jesus, I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus. How could I want more?
Man, again, I'd like to say it's great to be in the house of the Lord. Excited to be here this morning. Get one more day to do what He's called us to, called me to do, and hopefully you're doing the same. We have our committee has met and voted on our upcoming officers, our suggested upcoming officers. Not voted is the right word, but a new church here will be starting pretty soon, and went to revival. A couple weeks ago down in Weedowee, I think I told you this, but the guy preached to me that night, was telling us about the, he was preaching to pastors, and began telling that I was thinking about this as he was preaching, and I'm going on the third year, I'll be starting the third year here at New Harmony in October, and I can't believe I have put up with Pat that long. But as I was thinking on that, the preacher began telling us, and he was serious. He said that when he was a young preacher, he was led to believe that he was pastoring a church for the first 2 years, and he come to find out that for the first several years, you're simply a paid preacher. And I thought about that a lot. It's just we have to get to trust one another and get to go through hard times, good times, and all that before a man really becomes a pastor of the people. So that's our desire this upcoming year that we will go forward. I know we've been through some hard times already this year. But I just believe some great times are coming. I believe some great things is about to happen. And I know in our own lives that there's a time that we all go through dark places. We go through dark places, and this message is one that really speaks to all of us this morning. If you got your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel, chapter number 15, verses number 22 through 23. This is a very, you may have heard it. You may have heard it preached before. I don't think I've ever preached this like this before, but it's at a point in David's life when David, as you know, was king. And if you remember, David had committed a great sin back some years past, and he had taken a man's wife. And not only that, he had committed murder. He had committed some terrible things in his life. And David, the Lord had brought David through it, and David had to suffer from then on for his consequences of the sin. But David passed over a brook. He passed over a brook. The name of this brook is, you can pronounce it several ways, but Kidron. Passed over a brook named Kidron. And if you look at this thing today, as we're going to try to, and I hope I can make this come out the way it is in my mind, so you can truly see what it is today. But we all have a brook Kidron. We all have a brook, a dark place that we must pass over. And these verses talks about the brook, and this brook is mentioned all through the Scripture. Even Jesus on his last day on earth as he began to pray there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Before he got there, he passed over the brook Kidron. Now, this is symbolic of a dark place that we all must go. And I want you to see this morning that the important thing about this dark place is that you not only realize that at times in your life you pass over this brook, but you cannot stay there. You must pass over. That's why in the Bible, when you see the brook Kidron, they's always passing over it. They was going to somewhere better. And that's exactly where we all are this morning. There's times in life when things are dark. I'm going to try to show you about three different dark places in life, but I want you to understand that you must pass over these places. You cannot stay there. Some of you may be, we all have sin to deal with, different things, but as you're going to see this morning, if you get one thing, is you cannot stay at this brook. Because at this brook, there is no life. The brook Kidron there is still there, by the way, in Israel. It's still there in Jerusalem. And this thing is simply dried up. It only has water in the wintertime, so it cannot sustain life. But it is a place that you must pass over at times. And the elevation is very high where it comes down from the mountains. And this thing runs down to a sea. And guess what the name of the sea is? The Dead Sea. This brook runs to the Dead Sea. There is no life there. There's no reason to stay there. It cannot sustain life. So church, I'm about preached it all before I got started. But in 2 Samuel chapter number 15, verse 22 and 23, if you would please stand for the reverence of reading of God's Word. And I'm not going to read all those verses to you, but if you have some time this week, go back and read chapter 15 and it may speak to you a little more. It said, "And David said to Attai, go and pass over. And Attai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice. And all the people passed over. The king also passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness." Father, we thank you today for this scripture. We thank you, God, for the enlightenment you give to us this week to understand what this brook means. God, and there's times in our own lives when we pass over these dark places. And God, I pray that you let us see today that there is a passing over. There's not a staying, but there is a passing over. And God, I ask you to be with us this morning. Touch my mother. She's in the hospital. God, touch these others that are in dark places, that are places of hard times. And God, bless them in a mighty way. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And you see, as David was walking through, did you notice that he wasn't alone? His partner there, Attai, however you want to say his name, was with him. And it says that not only him, but there was little ones, there was all of his men, and there was kids, women, all of them passed over with him. And he was going over this place. But as we look at the name of this, and the name of it does mean darkness. If you look up the name in the Greek and Hebrew of Kidron, and in different places in our Bible, at one place it's spelled C-E-D-R-O-N, and other places it's spelled K-I-D-R-O-N. And so it has some different spellings, but it's all the same place. But the meaning of it always is darkness. It's always darkness. And I begin to think about this today, that we all have dark places that we pass over. And the first one we want to look at is a dark place of sin. Now the Bible teaches me that all men sin and come short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches me that if you say you have no sin, then you would make God a liar. Because he says you are a sinner and that we're all born of this thing. So we know we all have sin. And even after we receive Jesus as our Savior, we still have sin that we must pass over. We have dark places that we must get out of. We must do away with that thing. And if you turn to 1 Kings chapter number 15, verse 11 through 13, there was a king here that was his father had done evil in the sight of the Lord. It said, "Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land. He removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And also Micah, his mother, even her removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook Kidron. Did you see what this man did? He had sin that was in his family. And today I believe this is telling us that we have sins that are in our lives. We have sins that we may not know how to get rid of. We may not know what to do. And we may be sorry that we're there. We may not know how we're going to get out of that thing. But the one thing that the Bible teaches right here is that we must destroy that thing. Now, I want you to see how much courage this man had, that not only as being a king did he take away the groves and all that his father did, or took away all the idols of his father, but he even removed his mother because she had made an image. He removed his mother from being queen. And this is how badly that sin bothered this king, and how badly a being away from God that bothered him. I wonder today, does it truly bother us to be away from God? Does it bother us to have sin in our lives enough that we're willing to cross this brook Kidron and destroy these sins and to smash it into pieces and completely do away with it? You see, if you study a little bit more about this situation, Asa took this stuff out and he beat them into small pieces and he stamped them out until become powder, and he completely destroyed those idols and done away with them. The problem we have is we may say we want to do away with the sin, but we do not completely destroy it. We don't completely do away with what caused it. Then truly the reason we're doing that is because we still want to preserve it. We still want to have a little bit of it. It would be like if Asa took that idol out there and he cut it in half with a chainsaw, knowing that he could put it back together anytime he wanted to, or get a little super glue and stick that thing back together, then he could have his idol again. But no, Asa saw a need to destroy this thing in his life, and he brought it and he crushed it and he done away with it and spread it out by the brook Kidron. He brought it to the place of darkness and laid it down. Listen, church, every single one of us has a dark place of sin in our lives. It's only till we come to a place such as Asa did that we decide we want to get rid of that thing, and we decide we want to lay it down. Listen, we all have them. What is pitiful and what's bad about it is when we don't desire to cross over the brook and lay this thing down. The sad thing is also many of us have these, and if we're not careful, we may destroy it. But bless God, we stay right there in the darkness of it. We let it keep us down. We let it destroy us. We let it stay in that brook, and there's nothing grows on side of Brook Kidron. There's no grass that grows. There's no water flowing in the summertime. I want you to get this point. You cannot sustain life if you stay in this dark place. You cannot sustain it. You need to take that sin to Brook Kidron. You need to smash it up. You need to destroy it. You need to leave it there. And bless God, you need to pass over it and look back no more. Boy, and it's hard to do, ain't it? It's hard to do. The brook. We see it everywhere in the Bible. It's associated with darkness. We all have darkness of sin. We need to bring to the brook. And listen, we need to think about what it is today. This is a time for you to sit and worship the Lord. But in doing this today, I hope that you consider what may be in your life that's dark. I hope you consider that sin that's in your life that's dark. Now listen, yours is not going to look like mine. Mine's not going to look like yours. Of course, we all got some of the similar sins that we commit. But we all have that idol. We all have that thing that keeps us from being what God has called us to be. And today, I challenge you to take that thing to the Brook Kidron and smash it in pieces, and not just smash it in pieces, but stamp it until it's complete dust. And when you've done that, pass over it, forget about it, and go forward. Many great men has gotten caught up in sin. Many great women's gotten caught up in sin. Many boys, girls, teenagers, all of us has got caught up in sin. And how many of us is it sad to see that has tried for years and years to deal with that thing, and many of them tried to destroy it, they tried to do away with it, but they stay right there at Brook Kidron and they don't pass over. Listen, we've all got sin. Destroy it, stamp it into pieces, and then go over. And then head over to something else. Did you realize that scripture that we started with in 2 Samuel, that David went over that brook? It said he was barefooted, he was crying, he was wailing, he was upset, but he was heading somewhere else. Not once did it say he stopped at the Brook Kidron. He passed over it. We all have sin, such as Asa did. In his family, he had sin in his kingdom that he destroyed. Fathers, mothers, are we willing to destroy that sin? Are we willing to really crumble it up and do away with it so we can get out of that dark place and go somewhere that's better, that God has prepared for us? So not only do we have sin, I want you to see, in our lives, at times, we'll pass through a dark place of sorrow. A dark place of sorrow. Can you imagine? Imagine this for 1 minute. All of us in here, most of us in here have children. We have children. You'll know this. It can be a little bit comical, but there's nobody that can make us so happy, but yet can make us so mad. And I've always heard that having grandkids is reward we get for not killing our own kids. There's time we want to wring their neck. We want to hang them up by their toes. We want to do anything we can. Boy, we just can't understand. But you get what I'm saying. There's nothing that can destroy us. There's nothing that can bring sorrow like a child that has come against their father. Like a child that's come against their mother. There's nothing can bring sorrow in this. Now listen, I know there's other places of sorrow. There's people on the sound of my voice that has lost children. I've heard some of you talk about it. Of y'all's lost children, I can't imagine going through that place. There's some of y'all in here that's already lost your fathers and mothers. And that's a place of sorrow. There's great sorrows there. And listen, you can just keep naming the great sorrows that we must go through. The Bible teaches that life is of a few days and full of trouble. It's full of sorrows. And there's times that you must cross over this brook with those sorrows. David was in a very sorrowful place. His own son was trying to take over his kingdom. And as David passed over, he was weeping and he was crying. But did you notice that, as I said already, and I said 1,000 times more in this sermon, David did not stop at that brook. David kept going. Let me read it to you again. 22 and 23. And David said to Attiah, "Go and pass over." And Attiah the Gittite passed over, and all of his men and all of his little ones that was with him. I want you to see something right here. Did you notice when David passed over that he wasn't alone? He didn't just say, "I'm going to pass over." He didn't just say, "Pass over with me." David said, "I'm going over this brook." He said, "Attiah, I want you to do something also. I want you to pass over this brook. I want you to pass over this thing with me. And not only you, Attiah, but all the men that's part of our army, I want them to pass over the brook of sorrow. And not only that, I want all the children to pass over with me." Listen, church, at times we need to let our children realize that we have to pass over dark places. How many people in here has ever had any sorrow? We've all have. We've all been in a dark place, sorrowful. You know what we use? We use a fancy word for it today. And I know this is real, and I'm not trying to throw off on any doctors or anything. But listen, there's never been a time in our country, ever, because obviously medicine's never been more advanced. I know that. But listen, a depression is at an all-time high. It's depression. Let me tell you what a lot of depression is it's sorrow. It's sorrows that have come in our lives. It may have come from divorce. It may have come from infidelity. It may have come from finances. It may have come from family members that's turned against us, as Absalom did on his father. It may have come from this way. But one thing's for certain, in our country, we have great sorrow. People is in great times of sorrow. And listen, what do we do when we're there? I can't tell you how to keep from getting there, because it's human life. But what I can tell you is, when you come to a place of great sorrow, you don't stay there. You simply pass over this brook. Yes, it's dark. Yes, it's not fun. It's not a place you want to camp out. But at times it is needful that you pass over. And did you notice that David told Attiah and all of his men to pass over? It says, "And all the country wept with a loud voice." Everybody was sorrowful. Hey, everybody was crying. Not only was their king crying, and you know the reason this was, and boy, there's a great picture of our church here right now, y'all, that listen, the king was in sorrowful. As the king was sorrowful, all the ones who loved him become sorrowful. The Bible teaches us to bear one another's burdens. It tells us to lift one another up. It tells us to be there for one another. Because the king was sorrowful, the whole nation was sorrowful. And as the king come over the brook Kidron, all the nation wept with him. They cried with a loud voice. Listen, what was the last time that you cared enough about your fellow church member to weep for them? When's the last time that people cared enough for other folks that they cried with them, that they held their hand and cried? This is what I was getting to when I said that this morning about the pastor told us you're only a paid preacher for about the first 3 or 4 years of a pastor in a church, because you don't become a pastor until somebody has died and you've been in that family with them. You don't become a pastor until you've cried with them, until you've, it said, married their kids and done all these things. You don't become a pastor at that point. In other words, people really don't know what you mean to them until they see you being there with them in the hard times. I believe as David passed over this brook, and I believe he looked back and saw all of his country with him. I believe he saw Attiah. He said all the children, and all of them was crying. They passed over this dark place. But bless God, on the other side, David knew he had some people that was there with him. It's important to look back and see we have people with us. We have people with us. This is a different sermon than I usually preach this morning. Listen, it's important that we look back and see we have people right beside us. We're about to try to start this journey of hope. You know the one thing that cancer patients need? Exactly the word. They need hope. And then you know what comes from hope is realizing that not only that, but people is with them. The caregiver is the most important part in the cancer patient's life. They'll teach you that. You know why? Because nobody wants to pass over alone. Yes, I know the scripture that if you have God, you're never alone. I know all that. But listen, we live in a physical sense right now, and we need to see people's with us. We need to feel them beside us. We need to be able to reach out and touch them and know people cares. And listen, there is times that this brook it has to be passed over. Has been passed over. David knew this brook was coming. He knew this brook was coming. Like I told you, many of y'all have lost parents. Many of y'all have lost, some of y'all have lost children. All of us has lost loved ones at some point. We've lost husbands. Maybe you've lost wives. Different things. You knew this time was coming. You remember when David, after he committed his great sin, God sent a man named Nathan to him. And Nathan told David, he said, you're the man that has committed this great sin. You are the reason. Your sin is going to come to haunt you for the rest of your life. Because of that sin, your family will be against you. And if you look back over David's life, after the sin with Bathsheba, they had a baby that died. And after that, they had other children born. And listen, we know that one of the brothers raped one of the daughters. We know that Absalom desired to take over David's kingdom. The consequence of that sin, it burdened him from that day forward. And David knew this brook of sorrow was coming. David probably didn't realize that Absalom was going to try to take the kingdom and all these things, but he knew that God had told him that sorrows would come because of that sin. Listen, church, I want to tell you this morning, I don't want to discourage you. I don't want to get you upset before you leave. But listen, I want to tell you for certain that sorrows is coming. I want to tell you that hurtful times is coming. There's going to be times that family members hurt you. There may be times your church members hurt you. There are going to be times that people pass away. There are going to be times that you won't have any money. There's going to be times that you're in a sorrowful, sorrowful place. But listen, I will also tell you, there's going to be a time when you look behind and you see people crossing over that brook with you. Thank God for those people that cross with Him. If you've got a family member that's sick, such as we do, Keith and them do, and others in here, I can't name all of them, and y'all have all been the same place. Boy, what is a blessing it is to pull up at Mama's house and see the neighbor's car there. Boy, it takes a little pressure off. You come, you see somebody, says, hey, I can lend a hand. I can help in some way. It helps getting over a sorrowful place. It helps getting through a dark place. And those of y'all that have been there and lost a love, lost a husband, or lost a children, I bet you could tell me about somebody who passed over that dark place with you. Somebody who was with you that passed over. Dark. Dark as it was, he wasn't alone. And I know we're never alone, but listen to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Even when you fail, you may not have to be able to physically look back and think that nobody's with me. And most of the time, that's where sorrowful comes in, is we don't think anybody's with us. Even though David saw all those people, he probably felt alone. But he looked back, but you can look back and you can say, I know for certain, because it's based on the Word of God, this is not my words, this is not your words, this is the very Word of God. He says that I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end. There's not a place you can go that God is not there. As you pass over the dark place, you can look behind, and bless God, He's right behind you, passing over. But listen, there again, He does not ever tell you to stop at Brook Kidron. He tells you to keep going. He says, well, I'm with you. Used to be a thing hang on everybody's wall. Footprints in the sand. Everybody remember that? Must have been the 1980s because my mama and all had it. On their walls, you go in our grandma's house, and there was that thing, but I remember it. I didn't know anything about the Lord. I didn't know the Lord, but I remember reading that thing, and it said there was two sets of footprints when he looked back, and then at the hard times of his life, it said that there was only one set, and he thought, oh my goodness, why have you left me? And I believe it said, he said, my son, it's at this point that I carried you. This point that I carried you. You'll never go a place that God can leave you. So there's dark times of sin. There's dark times of sorrow. And boy, this last one surely is not fun. There's dark times of suffering. Suffering. Nobody likes to suffer. Nobody likes to do that at all. John chapter 18, verse 1. Said when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron. There was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. Now you got to really study this to see the beauty in this verse. You got to really take some time and look at it. You cannot read it fast. You've got to stay. It takes a long time to see this verse for what it is. And we may not truly never understand what this verse is. He had spoken these words. He told them what was going to come to pass there in the great meal they had in the Passover. And as he told them words, he told them what was going to happen. It says he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron. Do you see the beauty in this thing? As they was passing over this dark brook, as they was passing over this place of darkness, they didn't realize where they was going. But Jesus knew where he was heading. He was heading to a place to die for their sins. And bless God, this ought to make you want to shout. It says he passed over and his disciples passed over with him. Bless God, because he passed over this great place. Me and you today can pass over this dark place in our lives. He knew what he was coming to do. Listen what happened as he passed over. When he got to the other side, Luke 22 verse 44, it says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. My friend, that sounds like great suffering to me. It sounds like our Savior went across a great place of suffering. Now listen, I've told you today, there's people in here that has problems that I don't understand. You have things that you don't want to tell me. And listen, the great thing is you don't have to tell me. There's things that you have that nobody knows that you're suffering from. You may be suffering some pain I don't know about. Some physical, emotional, spiritual pain that I can't even comprehend. You may be going through that. But listen, I want to tell you something. There's never been a time that anybody has suffered as our Lord and Savior suffered at this point in his life. Did you realize something? This is where all the suffering took place, in that garden. Now, that suffering on the tree was nothing. He knew, hey, he could overcome that pain. I've got no doubt in all that. But listen, what was the great suffering about here? Have you ever thought about why was his sweat becoming his great drops of blood? He knew he was going to raise again. Death didn't bother him, of course. We knew he didn't want to. He was human. But listen, he knew what was coming. He had always been. He was going to always be. Jesus knew no one could kill him. What was the great suffering about? What was the great suffering about? It was about the weight of sin that was coming. It was the sin that was going to be in his life that was coming. Not in his life, but on his life. There was never no sin in him, but the sins of the whole world was about to be on him. You got to think about this. The perfect Savior who never, ever done anything wrong, never committed a sin, never thought the wrong thing, never did the wrong thing, completely white. It was this shirt, which has some little dirty spots on it now, but at one point, this thing was completely perfect white. It would be like this shirt, to be a picture of him, how pretty and white it is. And then the reddest blood or the blackest paint you could ever imagine, this throwing right on this thing, and it would completely destroy this garment. And that spotless, sinless Savior was about to have to endure the sins of the whole world. That's what the suffering was about. Me and you today, friend, we don't know suffering. Yes, we know a little bit of suffering, but nothing such as Jesus was taking at this time. And he passed over that brook into suffering. It's telling us today that me and you can pass over this brook of suffering because we have a Savior who's already passed over it. He suffered the penalty of all the sins that day as he passed over that brook. In agony. In agony. You look up that meaning of agony. It's a terrible word. It says he sweat become his great blood. He was in agony. He was 100% human and 100% God. He suffered in that garden, not because of death, because he knew he had always been, and nothing then or ever would take his life from him. He was suffering from the weight of sin. If you'll notice something else, in this time of suffering, angels came and provided strength. You ever notice that in that scripture? As this great time of suffering, if you read on down through that verse, as he was suffering, sweat become great drops of blood. How many of you have ever suffered enough that you even sweat? Matter of fact, if you suffered enough that your sweat become great drops of blood. It says in this time of suffering that angels came and ministered unto him, giving him the strength to continue. Have I ever saw an angel? Physically, if I did, I didn't know it. I've never saw what we saw in the pictures in the clouds. I've never personally witnessed that, but I do believe this. I have been at a place when there was suffering coming, and all of a sudden I felt a peace that I didn't know where come from. And my friend, I believe that is God ministering to us and being with us in that dark place. Have you ever been in a place when you knew that you were suffering and suffering was coming that you couldn't understand, and all of a sudden you felt a peace that you couldn't even comprehend it, you couldn't speak about it, you didn't know how to explain it to anybody? At that time, I believe it was the same angels, the same spiritual thing that come and minister to Jesus as he was suffering. My friend, it's still there today. It's still available. And listen, the great news today is, yes, you're going to have to pass over the brook of Kidron in suffering, but I believe we have angels that were ministering to us, giving us the strength. They did for Jesus, and we're joint heirs. We're co-equals with Jesus. We've been saved. The Bible teaches that. Not only have we been made children of God, we've been made sons. The Bible teaches us that. As the great suffering was taking place, angels was ministering to them. We all pass over this brook. Everybody, these three brooks you're going to pass over in life. If you don't pass over the brook Kidron of sin, you're going to die and spend eternity in a place called hell. You must destroy that thing. And even after I pass that, after passing that day, the sin in your life that gets there, because we don't listen to the Spirit of God, you've got to deal with that sin or you cannot go forward. You must cross over that brook and destroy it. You're going to deal with sorrow. You're going to deal with suffering. It's going to be dark. It's going to be hard. Psalms 30, chapter 5. For his anger endureth for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Nothing except God lasts forever. You ever had a great pain? Carrie's been through kidney stones. I've never been through that. They say it's equal to childbirth. And I know from watching childbirth, it'll wear you out. Every time Stephanie had a kid, I was tired as I could be. I could imagine what pain must have been involved with it. And after number one, our second girl, third girls better be glad it wasn't daddy, because there wouldn't have been no second or third. Nothing lasts forever. The greatest pain you could ever remember has passed. You may be hurting this morning, but I want to tell you some good news. It's passing. You may have had physical, spiritual darkness. You may have had all these other kind of darknesses. But think back, and you cannot be honest with me, that thing has passed. You've been through times that you didn't think would ever go through. But listen, the thing has passed. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I think the greatest picture of this, the Lord and Savior was crucified. He was put into a barred tomb. 3 days and three nights, the Bible teaches. I know people argue that, and you can talk about it and all this, but I'll go with it. 3 days, he was in that dark tomb. Remember when they got up that morning to go to prepare to do all the things they was going to do. As they went to the tomb, they got there. Something had happened. The tomb was empty. The weeping was gone. He had overcome death, hell, and the grave. Listen, there's nothing in your life so dark that God can't overcome. Nothing in your life, whether it be sin, whether it be sorrow, or it be suffering, that's going to endure. He has overcome it all. He has whipped it. It is done. If you read the back of the book, as they say, we win. You're victorious. Church, I think it's time as we, as God's people, cross over this brook. It's a hard brook to cross over. It's a hard place of dealing with our sin, because we do not like to admit we're wrong. If we think we're wrong, we like to blame it on why somebody else was wrong. We go on down the line. If you ever work with anybody else, when somebody is called in and doing something wrong, you know what they'll say? Well, it's because this one told me to, or that one told me to. If you're ever a supervisor, it all comes back on you. We all have this dark place of sin. Will you deal with it today? Are you willing to deal with it? I'm talking about crush it up, dump it, completely destroy it, and go on the other side of that brook. Keep walking. Leave it right there at the brook, but keep walking. Sorrows. You may be dealing with maybe the time of year your loved one passed. The time of the season, holiday season's coming up. You say, well, it's just summer. Blink, it's going to be Christmas. Hard time for people. Kim can tell us, she works in the medical field. Stephanie and other ones. This time of the year, harder on people emotionally than any time of the year as we're coming up on. Sorrow is real. Suffering. You may be suffering as you don't even want to tell anybody. You may be suffering from physical ailments. You may be suffering from spiritual, emotional, whatever the case may be. I want to give you encouragement today. Weeping endures for a night. Joy is coming in the morning. Hang in there. Cross over the brook. Leave the darkness there. Go on towards a better place. If you read that, everything turned out all right for David. Yes, he dealt with his kids. Always, even today, what's going on over there can be traced all the way back to some of this with David because of that sin. Today, are you suffering? Do you know for certain that you have sin that you haven't dealt with? If you do, you know what it does? It separates you from being where God has you to be. You cannot be where He wants you to be until you destroy it and go over. The sorrow and the suffering, a lot of it comes because of our sin. All sorrow and suffering, when you come down to it, is because of sin, the first sin. There was a perfect environment God provided for people before the first sin came into the world. Just as that first sin came in, a Savior came in one day, destroyed all that suffering, all the sorrow, and joy cometh in the morning. If everyone would, please stand. As I said, this is a really different sermon than I usually preach. A place of sorrow, a place of sin, a place of suffering, in a dark place. Not a better thing to see when it's pitch black out night than you look over towards the east and there comes a little bit of sun. Feels like there's hope. You heard the old saying, there's light at the end of the tunnel. The people that's pessimistic say, yeah, but it's a train. It's what we tend to think. We tend to think all the worst. I want to tell you this morning, you serve a great God. The God that cannot fail. He does not slumber. He does not sleep. He does not change. His desire for your life is today that you crush that sin, that you walk through the sorrow and the suffering, because joy lies within Him. As we sing this morning, you may have a sin that you haven't dealt with. You may have a sin that's in your life and it's keeping you from everything else. It may seem like the thing that you enjoy, it may seem like the thing that's fun, but it's trouble. Asa thought enough about that sin to remove his own mother from being queen. Most of us have not been man enough to tell our children to stop doing it, or to tell our people we don't even know to stop doing it. He took his mother and quickly removed her from the kingdom, took her idols and crushed them in the brook. David passed over a sorrowful place with his own kid taking over his kingdom. Jesus passed over Brook Kidron with the suffering of all sin upon his shoulders. He knelt and he prayed. So how should we overcome suffering? Pretty self-explanatory. I believe Jesus was on his knees crying out for the Father, because the Bible tells me what he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. But not my will, but yours be done. If you're suffering today, you can find relief in this altar. If you're too prideful to use this one, use the one you got at home. If you don't got one at home, make one. It's the only way you can overcome it. Will you be honest today as she plays?